This is KMTT, Kibbutz Yom Tetzei Torah, in the summer's man. Starting now after Pesach, we'll be having a series of shiurim by Harav Moshe Taragin on Pirkei Avot to complement, hopefully, your own learning of Pirkei Avot each week, a different perek, one mishnah, one idea from each perek, keeping up with the general learning. Harav Moshe Taragin.
The eighth mishnah of Parak Shlishi of Avos cites a very well-known, one could even say provocative, statement of Rav Meir. It's stated by Rabbi Dustoy Bar Yanai, a Tana. It doesn't appear that often in Shas and Mishnayos, and Mishnayos only one other time in Erevin. He quotes Rav Meir as claiming, Kol ha-shocheach davar echad mi-mishnasa, whoever forgets his Torah study, and here Rav Meir is quite specific, davar achad, even one small detail, ma'le lav ha-kasuv ki'ilo mischayiv benasha. Very harsh statement. Notice the Mishnah doesn't say ischayiv misa, we wouldn't actually chalila b'chatz administer the death penalty, but the Torah treats him or characterizes him as someone who's chayiv misa. And Rabbi Meir cited the Pasuk in Veschanan. The Pasuk in Veschanan, at a literal level, in Devarim Perak Dalet, refers to remembering the events at Har Sinai, the great miracles. According to some Rishonim, this is actually an Isser to forget, or a mitzvah to retell the actual story of Har Sinai, not just to teach Tara. Hishamer lecha, be careful, pen tishkach es hadvarim asher re'u einecha. Perhaps you'll forget the events you witnessed, trufenya siru milvavcha kol yemechayecha, and you will remove from your hearts, again, presumably, this pasuk describes the events at Har Sinai. V'hodatam livonecha, you should teach your children. Livonevonecha, yom asher amarta lefnei Hashem lokecha b'chorei, the day that you stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai. So the literal reading of the Gemara of the pasuk in Veschanan refers to the events of Har Sinai. You should tell the story, tell the tale, not forget, teach your children. Rav Meir, however, interpreted not just as a reference to Har Sinai, but as a reference to the content of Har Sinai, to the Torah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered to us at Har Sinai. And hence, Rabbi Meir derived from this pasuk that a person who forgets his Torah study is considered as if is Chayiv Misa. Again, the very harsh, caustic language of the pasuk. Hishamer lecha ushmar nafshecha mi'od, as if forgetting Torah is equivalent to someone who is lackadaisical or unconcerned, unperturbed by his own safety. He's like Yischayev Misa. Now, the Mishnah is quite aware of the caustic nature of the statement. I mean, it's only human nature to forget. People forget things. So the Mishnah concludes, or the Meir concludes, Yachol afilu takva lav Mishnah. So you would think that even if something is too hard to remember, or you're learning too much, and new information replaces old information, takva lav Mishnah. So if because your learning is too difficult, you forget some of it, you would think that you're also included within this concern. Talmud lomar. So the conclusion of the pasuk in Veschanan, Hishamer lecha ushmar nafshecha miyod. Pen tishkach es advarim asher re'u einecha, ufen yasuru milavavcha. You may remove it from your heart, so you're only chayiv ad shiyeshev v'yasirem milibo. Until you actively and aggressively force yourself to forget your Torah study. Now, of course, one of the things in life we can't force ourselves or compel ourselves to do is to forget something, right? That's two things we can't force ourselves to, are to fall asleep and to forget. These are both gifts, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. That's why we make a bracha before we go to sleep, HaMapil Chavlei Sheina, because we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power to allow us to fall asleep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll talk about this a little bit later, gave us the ability to forget. Forgetting is a talent, is not just a talent, but it's a trait Hashem gave us, and so people have a harder time, they're obsessive, compulsive minds, and they don't forget things, and it's important for us to forget insult, and tragedy, and suffering, and the two, of course, the two gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu typically occur in unison. When we sleep at night, we taste that sweet toxin of forgetting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us. We can forget yesterday's struggles and yesterday's failures and yesterday's frustrations and hopefully awake to a new morning of hope and a new morning of possibility. So, interpreting this conclusion of the Mishnah, you're only chayiv until you actively remove Torah study from your heart, with different interpretations. Some say you abandon Torah study entirely. Very often, just remaining active in the world of Torah study provides a synergetic effect. You may be learning Bava Metzia, but you're involved in the world of Torah. You're exercising the tools of Torah study and the peripheral, modular nature of Torah study means that while you're studying a topic in Bava Metzia, deep down you're also reviewing and at some level reinforcing your knowledge in Psachim or in Kachim or in Zvachim. Others interpreted ad shiasirim milibo, not just that you abandon Torah study, but something even more subtle. You make no effort to review or no effort at some point to lock in information. So just by merely ignoring it, Torah floats out of your imagination. It's a very interesting medrash. Typically, Torah is compared primarily in Shir HaShirim, but also in Yeshaya. It's compared to wine, it's compared to water, and it's compared to oil. So, the Medrash, it's actually Gemara and Taina, says, why is it compared to these three forms of liquid, of drink? And the Medrash and Shir HaShirim provides numerous, almost dozens, I think close to two dozen interpretations of why water, why wine, why shemen. But the Gemara and Taina on Daf Zayin sums it up. Lo melecha shlosha mashkin halalu. These three drinks, Einu Nifsalim Ela Behesach Hadas, they are, at least in the days of Chazal, they are prohibited to drink if you haven't guarded them or watched them or supervised them. Those days, Yayin Megula or Mayin Megula, wine or water, which had been exposed, was prohibited to drink out of fear that a snake may have deposited venom into these drinks, or other types of venomous creatures. Of course, in our day, because in most cases in civilized, urbanized areas, we don't live with venomous animals, we are allowed to partake or to drink of exposed liquids. But the Gemara continues, Av divrei Torah ein mishtakchim ela behesach hadas. So this Gemara in Tainis, as opposed to the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Mishnah Perkei Avos describes some active attempt to forget Torah. Again, you can't forget something you studied actively, but abandoning Torah study, paying attention, investing time and interest in other pursuits, and ignoring, neglecting the importance of Torah study could be an emotional shift. The Gemara in Tainis, again, isn't stated in the same frontal terminology as the Mishnah and Avos, but it talks about a hesach hadas, not reviewing, not locking in your Torah study, not cataloging, right, with different people. Different manners of review. For some people, the reviewing is performed sequentially. Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, nuggets or nodes of information. Other people, a review is performed topically by organizing ideas. One of the powers of analytical learning is that you take this mass of chaotic information, that certainly Torah Sheba'al Peh presents itself as, and organize it into topics, and you're able to remember them topically. One of the three cases of that exhibit this tendency, that characteristic, what are the nafkaminos of this question? It's not just a way to understand better, but a way to catalog, and cataloging is a mnemonic device to try to remember. Either way, the Mishnah in Taanis bemoans someone who's just ignored his Torah, or Hesach Hadas. So this, of course, is a very, very well-known statement of Rabbi Meir. It's very harsh. Again, it doesn't just talk about the importance of remembering Torah, but he claims, ki'ilu, Mischayev ben Afsha, as if you're Chayev Misa. And the Mishnah, in the end, qualifies only someone that doesn't make every possible effort to remember his Torah, either by actively taking some sort of action or behavior that causes forgetting, or ignoring the Torah so that it slowly slips out of consciousness and out of memory. Either way, it's important to note that there are really two different interpretations of this Mishnah. Many we've shown him, the Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Avajami Bar Tanura, I would say tempered this Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yonah claims that the Mischayev ben Nafsho is not a product of forgetting Torah. even if a person forgets Torah negligently, or he's with culpability, with some sort of negligence and responsibility, you can't call that person a Chayav Ben Asher. Maybe someone's Torah study isn't sufficiently heightened, whose Torah interest isn't sufficiently intensified. The person can't be considered mischayev b'nafsha. Rabbeinu Yonah claims Rabbeinu Rav Adrian Bar Tanura by forgetting Torah. So you may issue inappropriate piskei halacha. You may record and convey inaccurate Torah information. That's already a much more severe crime. By conveying inaccurate Torah information, especially in the context of a psak, which will be actionable, you could cause halachic infraction. You could cause the actual, the language of Rabbeinu Rav Adrian, b'shvil shalachazer aleha, you haven't reviewed your Torah, mitoch shechasa huba lahatiras aser. You may mistakenly permit something which is aser, v'nintzas takala ba'aliyado, and you'll cause halachic infraction or halachic error. That already is a much more serious error, much more serious crime. So in theory, someone who's concerned about forgetting his Torah either won't issue a halachic psak at all, or will only issue after reviewing that particular area assiduously and carefully. But according to Rabbeinu Avadia, the act of forgetting Torah, or the phenomena of forgetting Torah per se, cannot be deemed severe enough to be considered worthy of capital punishment. Again, even the language of the Mishnah is somewhat tempered. The Mishnah says, Ki'ilu mischayev b'nafsha. But at the same token, even that association was too severe for Rabbeinu Avadia and Rabbeinu Yonah, and they reinterpret it as referring to someone who may err in issuing halachic psak, halachic doctrine. Secondarily, Rabbeinu Avadia quotes a different reason Torah can protect us. Torah has the miraculous, supernatural ability to protect. Ani Hashem Rofecha, a person who studies Torah, is granted higher levels of Ashkacha, higher levels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, higher levels of relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Mishnah earlier in the third parak of the Perek Yavah was talking about someone who sits and learns Torah, and Hashem is there, the Shechina is there. V'chala makom asher eskir shemi, this is Mishnah above, that even one person who studies Torah, the Shechina visits him. If the Shechina visits him, presumably that person has greater protection and greater shelter. By forgetting that Torah, so formulaically, that protection is removed, and the person is in danger, and perhaps the phrase, ma le'elav ha'kosov ki'ilo mischayev b'nafsho, that phrase is a bit of a hyperbole. It doesn't mean you're chayev b'nafsho, but you're creating unnecessary or additional peril by reducing the impact of Torah protection. Either way, both the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rabbeinu Avadia in their interpretations severely alter the straight and direct interpretation of this mission. It doesn't mean you're chayev misa. That means that there could be byproducts and consequences of forgetting Torah study, which are very serious and border even on physical danger or even a punitive type of punishment for issuing incorrect psak. But without question, the simple reading of the Mishnah is very different from the Rabbeinu Yonah and from the Rabbeinu Avadia. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that person who forgets his Torah, even if he doesn't issue a psak, and even if he doesn't embark on anything dangerous and doesn't create physical peril, that person is chayiv misa. And there are certain words considered as if he's chayiv misa. And there are clearly are parallel sources in Chazal which bemoan and even speak in very, very graphic term about someone who studies Torah and forgets it. So, for example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, whoever studies Torah and doesn't review it is likened to someone who plants and doesn't harvest. Rabbi Yeshua said the same statement, and Rabbi Yeshua went even further. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha likened it to an agricultural setting. It's futile, it's study, but you work, and if you don't recall your Torah, then you won't harvest, and you won't benefit necessarily from Torah. Rabbi Yeshua adds a statement which adds a tragic note to it, a sadder note. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, so again, Sanhedrin, Sadik Testament, Aleph, Kohalome Tara Umeshakcha, Domen Leisha Sheoledes Vikoveres. It'd be likened to a woman who gives birth and buries the child. There's a death of something, not just lost potential, but there's a death, there's a tragedy. It's a not part of the natural sequence. The natural sequence is to give birth to something and to see it live and grow and prosper and develop and nurture. And the infinity of Torah study, even if we know something, we continue to develop and review it. As I mentioned earlier, the inverse of forgetting Torah is continuing to develop and to return to your ideas and update them and advance them and recrystallize or reconstitute your ideas and develop new insights into your Torah study. And that's something which is evoked by the inverse metaphor of Rabbi Yeshua. Presumably, the inverse of someone who forgets Torah and the inverse of a woman who buries her child is a woman whose child doesn't just live, but prospers and grows and develops and evolves. And our Torah has to evolve. Our Torah should never be the same Torah. B'chol yom, Chazal Darshin, Yiyu Anecha Kichadashim. Our Torah should morph and evolve in very different ways. We should never study, obviously study old Torah, but review our old Torah. And the greatest way to avoid forgetting is to continue to develop your ideas, because developing your ideas requires reviewing your previous perspective and changing them and modifying them. There are several mentions throughout various midrashim, and it's actually a Gemara in Chagiga. Again, based on Pesukim both in Iyov, Pesukim in Koheles, Pesukim in Shir HaShirim, Torah is compared to utensils of gold, in other cases, utensils of glass. So, for example, the Gemara in Chagiga, Tazvav Amar Aleph, Lo Yarchena Zahavu Shuchisit Turasak Li Paz, it's a Pesuk in Iyov, Parak Chafes. So the Gemara Darshins, Elu Divrei Torah. This is a reference to Torah study. Shekashim liknosam kichlizav uklipaz. They're difficult to acquire because they're expensive, as gold utensils. Vinochim laabdam kichlizchuchis. But they're easily broken or easily lost, as glass, because the pasuk mentions both gold and glass. So the Gemara Chagiga sees this as a reference to the two sides of Torah. They're difficult to acquire as gold, but they're easy to lose as glass, either because glass isn't so valuable and people lose them easily, or glass when it breaks, it's harder to reform. Either way, both this Gemara in Chagiga Tezvav and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadik Tes, both of these Gemaras do not speak about the crime of forgetting Torah, simply because by forgetting Torah, you may issue an incorrect psak. By forgetting Torah, you remove or eliminate whatever extra providence and hashkacha your Torah study initially provided. Both of these Gemaras lament forgetting Torah on its own terms, because it's the infinite word of Hashem, and forgetting it means you have lost some of that contact and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In modern times, or relative modern times, this position was adopted in a very, very dramatic and very non-conventional format and curriculum by the original Lubavitcher Rebbe. The original Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch, what is known colloquially in the world of Torah as Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the section of Yerodea, after he cites the halachas of Talmud Torah are cited in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, after he cites the halachas of Talmud Torah, authors a kuntris, Divrei Talmud Torah, a little section extolling the importance of Talmud Torah and the virtues and how to study Torah. And he suggests the following curriculum. Most yeshivas, obviously each yeshiva and each Torah curriculum is different, but in almost every Torah curriculum, there is some time allocated for what is called chazara, for review. In more elementary settings, the review is mediated and enabled by testing. In more advanced settings, where tests hopefully are less necessary, less vital, so there are periods allotted for chazara. In the yeshiva, in Gush Etzion, Har Etzion, so we perform chazara more or less Chanukah time, which is about 2 months into, or 2.5 months into this month, or 2.5 months of study. Another chazara is performed Pesach time, another 2-3 months afterwards. And then a final chazara is performed before Tisha B'Av, reviewing all the material study during the summer from Pesach to Tisha B'Av. So the ratio in yeshiva is a collective, communal chazara once every 3 months, not to mention personal chazaras, whether it's every day, whether it's every week. I know that when I give shir, I try to give a chazara shir once a week, just a quick review. So everyone has their own quota. I'm sure in each yeshiva, in each setting, in each shir, the ratio is different. But every yeshiva allocates, and every Torah framework should allocate some time for review. But in most cases, the review is secondary, is subsidiary. Even in the most extreme cases, I can't imagine that the review session would last longer than the actual learning, for obvious reasons. The Baal Shem Rebbe felt that this mishnah should be taken literally and implemented literally. Since a person who forgets any of his Torah study is committing a crime so severe that it's likened to a capital offense, a person doesn't have the right to ever study any new Torah until and unless he has reviewed all his previously studied Torah and has locked in that information and has memorized it or remembered it, committed it to memory. So his recommendation for curriculum is basically, when the day begins, to review all of your Torah study until that point, and with whatever time remains after that review, and of course that review time will increase as the person's Torah study increases, whatever little time is available, to go weiter, as we say, to learn a little bit of extra Torah. To create a very, very lopsided situation. Imagine a middle-aged person who comes in, he could spend hours and hours and hours reviewing his Torah. Now again, you can imagine that as the Chazara sessions tend to repeat themselves, he develops skills and tactics to create shortcuts, to abbreviate the amount of time involved in review. Still, would occupy the lion's share of his time. But he took this mishnah literally and recommended a literal implementation. As I mentioned before, most Torah frameworks didn't and don't adopt Lubavitcher Rebbe's recommendation. But I still think the mishnah, in its barest form, even if it isn't reinterpreted like Rabbi Yonah, it's an important message about the infinity of Torah, about recognizing Torah as the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very interesting, a series of midrashim. The Medrash, I think it's in Parshas Kitisa, claims that had Am Yisrael heard the Torah entirely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would never have forgotten it. Fortunately, this Medrash laments, we only heard two Dibros from Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha, the only two we heard directly from Hashem, the rest were relayed indirectly through Moshe Rabbeinu. But had we heard the entire Torah, we would never have forgotten it. An interesting Medrash. The Medrash could be interpreted literally. There would have been some supernatural force delivered in those words that would have prevented it from slipping out of the human mind. Or it could be interpreted rationally. Memory is not just an intellectual skill. Memory is a personal decision. We remember information that's important to us. Like, you don't forget your birthday. You don't forget your anniversary. You don't forget important things in life. People that are fans of sports, so there's certain sports events that lodge themselves in our memory because they cause emotional excitement. And we latch onto that information. We think about it from time to time. We don't forget it. To the degree that a person views Torah as the infinite divine word of Hashem, well, that's something that should be and would be committed to memory. And if we don't commit it to memory, it's almost as if we lose sight of its divinity. We don't see it as Devar Hashem. We just see it as information, as Jewish law, as Jewish ritual. You know, we know it to be Devar Hashem, but how deeply do we feel it and sense it as Devar Hashem? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to you in a dream tonight, and said some words to you, a direct conversation, a direct communication, I imagine you'd wake up and try your damnedest to remember what he said and lock it in, review it. You'd remember it for the rest of your life. So the Medrash can be interpreted not just mystically. There'd be some mystical element of Torah which would enable full retention. Then it can also be seen rationally, that if we value Torah as a Devar Hashem, then we're less likely to forget it, and had we heard it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would have been easier for us to not just detect, but to sense deeply, and in enduring fashion, the divine nature of Torah. Because we trivialize Torah, we diminish its importance, even in subtle forms that we're not consciously aware of. Now, I'm not talking about someone who disparages Chas V'Shalom or who belittles Torah, but because in our mind we don't sufficiently value it, it slips out of our memory. And I think this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has to be associated with that Medrash. I think it's a Medrash in Parshas Ki Tisa. It's a parallel Medrash in the first parak of Qoheles Rabbah. The Medrash is commenting on the fact that Pasuk V'nasati Yisli L'drosh V'Masur B'Chachma, Rish Baruch Hu gave the Torah La'anos Baal to the Russian exact language of the Pasuk. The exact language of the Pasuk V'nasati Yisli L'drosh V'Masur B'Chachma. Shlomo says, I've set my attention to examine, to investigate wisdom, al kol asher na'asa tachas ha-shamayim hu inyan ra. It's a terrible, terrible idea. Na'asa ne'lokim levnei adam la'anaz ba. Hashem gave this pursuit of chachma to man, it's a very harsh statement, la'anaz ba, to torture him, to almost tease him. So the Mishnah interprets, Zero Shiputa Shal Tara. This is the struggle of Tara. Shadam Lame Tara Neshachacha. Person studies Tara and forgets it, and Shlomo HaMelech is bemoaning, is lamenting that struggle of mankind. Studies and he forgets. Very interesting, that same Medrash in Koheles cites a dissenting opinion. Rev Tuvia B'Sheik Meb Yitzchak. The Rabbanan quoted Rabbi Yitzchak, Rev Tuvia quoted Rabbi Yitzchak. L'tovaso Adam Lamei Tara V'Shochech. Forgetting Tara is itself a gift. It's for man's benefit. It's not for man's torture, not for man's manipulation or exploitation, but for his benefit. I mentioned before that forgetting in general is beneficial to man. We forget our sorrows, we forget our agonies and anxieties, we forget our failures, we forget our mortality from time to time, which allows us to be optimistic, allows us to have a cheery disposition of life, we forget our illnesses. It's important to forget. We forget tragedies. And as I mentioned, it's not an action that can be cognitively or actively chosen or executed. It has to be enabled by the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you would not assume that forgetting Torah is beneficial to man. But Rabbi Tuvia, quoted Rabbi Yitzchak, is claiming that it was. She'ilu haya adam lavei Torah velo shachacha. Had a person studied Tara and never forgotten it, hayim misasik b'tara shtayim shaloshanim b'chozer misasik b'mlachta. You'd study Tara, you'd complete Tara, and then having completed Tara, you'd move on to, so to speak, bigger and better things. Mitoch she'adam lamei Tara v'shokacha, as a person studies Tara and forgets it, eino mezes ve'eino mazias atzmo midivrei Tara. You never abandon Tara. So Rabbi Yitzchak puts a very romantic twist on it. We're human beings. We forget. That's the reality of our humanity. But the heroic response to the reality of our forgetting is that we pursue it relentlessly our entire lives, knowing that we'll never complete it, but not being crushed by the enormity of it, by the frustrating futility of how little we remember. And somehow I think our attitude has to fall somewhere between these two positions in the matter. So on the one hand, there has to be this objective, idealistic, frontal recognition and embrace of our Mishnah, despite Rabbi Yevanu Yonah's softening and tempering. I think there has to be a confrontation, an exposure, a recognition, and an embrace of the immortality of Torah. Torah is infinite. Torah is the will of Hashem. And there's a tragedy when it's forgotten. And it's a tragedy when we don't study hard enough. And it's a tragedy when we prioritize other pursuits. The person has to have the strength of character that can sense that tragedy and try to respond and recover from that tragedy. On the other hand, we're human beings. And as human beings, we're apt to forget and we're apt to be intellectually limited and we're apt to reach our mental, cerebral limitations, whether it's in not understanding or in forgetting. But as human beings, we commit and recommit and endure and persist and persevere and spend our lives studying Torah, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. Various midrashim about a person who's zocha, filu b'yom hamis, a person who has his faculties intact and is supposed to study Torah even the day he passes from this world. And we try. Eino mezes, eino mazias, atzmo midivrei Torah. The beautiful Medrash in Parshas Ki Tisa, that after the 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai, so Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I forgot all the Torah I studied. Hashem says, you know what, I'll give it to you. Vayitena Moshe kechalosola deberito, I'll give it to you. B'siyata d'shmai, I'll give you now the gift of Torah. Moshe would never have been a candidate to receive Hashem's divine gift of Torah had he not studied relentlessly. Lechem lo achalti, umayim lo shasisi. But even Moshe is a human being, and even Moshe can't possess the entirety of Torah. He recognizes that, he acknowledges it, he's humble about it, and both the recognition and the effort, the humility and the candor, make him a prime candidate to receive a divine gift. So it's a beautiful Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Shlishi, a very harsh Mishnah, Mishnah which has to be dissected and applied on many levels about Torah and the human penchant for forgetting.